And now, courtesy of the 11L Network, it's LF Midwood.
LF Midwood.
And the Midwood Files. With the LF Midwood Experience. Here on Radio New York International.
Hello, my name is LF Midwood. Welcome to the Midwood Files. I'm not at all happy at the moment. This is the first night I'm pushing out to Rumble, and I spent a lot of time trying to set this up, and I appear to be having issues. Let me see what's going on here. Let me see. Why is it doing that? Yeah, this is going to be kind of like a hit or miss type situation as I figure things out. I'm not at all pleased. Let me see if I can figure out what's sucking up my cycles. This is a devil's canyon, this processor, and we never really had any problems with it before. Yeah, see, okay, it's angry. Oh, it's really angry. It's really angry. Let's see. If I can get it to calm down a little bit. Funny, it wasn't doing that before. Come on. I don't have the heart to kill it, and I don't know. I'm not 100% sure what to do. I wish it would calm down. Let me see. CPU cycle 74. Yeah, it's frames per second. It should be pushing out 29. It should be regular, 29.97, and it's not doing that. I'm trying to decide whether I should just pull the plug on it or whether maybe pray that it's going to calm down a little bit. I don't know. I'm not sure what I need to. I'm wondering if I killed the audio. Because I'm in total self-destruct mode anyway. Let me see. If I kill... There we go. Audio is connected. I think we're okay. I think we're all right. I don't think there's anything major happening. I don't think anything's major or broken. I think we're all right. I don't think I'm dropping frames. Am I dropping frames? No. I'm not dropping frames. Let me see what this looks like in studio mode. Yeah. Okay. This is livable. This is definitely livable. I almost wish I could push it to 720 60 frames, but I guess we'll be okay. We're not losing anything. I'm going to rely on Rumble. So yeah, this is the first. Let me fix this. I think we're okay. You know, if the producer would stick her head in and tell me that we appear to be okay, I'd feel a lot better about the whole deal. The whole thing. So, yeah. This is Midwood Files' first attempt at streaming to a video platform. Last time we were streaming, we had an in-house server, and we were using Mist server. And it worked pretty well until I got tired of doing it. A lot of lighting, you know, issues and green screen issues and just a lot of work, not for nothing. We knew we had like a week to get into this from the time I announced it, and it was still a hell of a lot of work to get things going up until like the last hour or so. It looks like the box is not, it looks like the studio computer is not happy running at 1080p. At almost 30 frames per second, which is fine by me. I always ran at 720 anyway. It's just me. It's not like it's, you know, something super. Can the producer hear me? I can't see any chat. I don't know what you're friggin' talking about. So you're going to have to come in here and literally tell me that I'm okay. Can't see chat. So don't sit there and try and chat again, because it's not going to help me. I need head through door telling me what's going on. That would be grateful for that. Not for nothing. It looks all right on the processor side here. It doesn't look like it's chewing up stuff too much. And it is still 29 frames per second. It's just it looks like it's rescaling it. So yeah, first time out. Yeah. I wanted to try Rumble because I had started I started Rumble kind of a while back, and most recently I was watching people that I found kind of interesting. My cat's trying to chew my wire. Get off the wire. Yeah, the cat just chewed the wire. Stay off the wire. Batsy, stay off the wire. He'll chew anything, like particularly if it's like a wire or something. He's really into chewing them. And it looks like he didn't break this one, thank God, because I'm wearing my Bears, and that would suck. Because they are the most comfortable headphones I own. We're trying to hang on for a sec. Okay. Probably not. Let me get my cans back on. Probably not the worst presentation that I've ever come up with. Probably not. It might be in there. According to the producer who's monitoring monitoring Rumble, everything's fine. Everything's good. Great. So that being said, I guess scaling it down is really helpful. I guess a camera's spitting out like 1080p. A lot of this stuff is like technical minutia. I got a new card, another Elgato card. We got a lot of Elgato stuff around here at the Stream Deck. And most of my lighting at this point is Elgato as well. We got a new card that's a PCI Express rather than USB. We had always streamed via using a USB device for the digitizer. And moving over to the friggin' Elgato card, it's got the four HDMI inputs. It's awesome. It's like really, really, really 9-day difference. So we installed that this week. That showed up actually in time, and we installed that this week. And we were playing around with that. And like I said, we hadn't turned the lights on in a while. And the camera is a Canon SL3. So it's a digital SLR. To get all the pieces running, and I'm not even sure how. I think I figured it out. I think because they ask you to upload like 120. This is Rumble now. They ask you to upload a 120-second clip of something. And I think they're running that while you're before your stream goes live. And I think your stream goes live when whatever software you're using, in my case, OBS, I can start OBS, and that starts the stream. So I have a better timing, because I wasn't even sure how I was going to time the opening, because, you know, it's primarily an audio show, and I have an opening and a close that I generally use. So it's like, well, what was I going to, I didn't know when to start Rumble, or when it was going to dump out, or what the deal was. I didn't really know, because I'd never done it before, not for nothing. I think we did one test broadcast in the middle of the week, we were so wrapped up with other things going on in the studio, like the green screen, for instance, has been vastly improved, over the incarnation that I was previously running. And my shirt, I'm picking up a little breakup on my shirt. You know, she told me there's a little white in your shirt, and it may pick up a little breakup, and it has. So I'm like, "Grr." See, really into the technical aspect of making all this work, and production value. You know, those two things hand in hand, along with, of course, original content from my brain, is really what kind of makes this whole thing go. Forgive this, please, for having issues, getting off the ground. I think from what I'm seeing on the PC, I think everything's all right. I don't think frames are being dropped. I think, that would be my biggest concern. This is it's not that old. It's an i7, But it's a 7, Gen 7, maybe even Gen 6. So it's a Devil's Canyon. And it just does not want to do 1080p. It just, because the camera's spitting out 1080p, and the software was perfectly capable of handling 1080p. But I tell you the truth, I'm glad I figured out that I should just click off scale down, and it scales it down. And you would think the scaling process would eat up CPU cycles, but it's not. It's not. It's running at about 50%, which is what it used to do in the old days. And that's with the audio server running. I think I restarted the audio server. Let me see. Where is it? Yeah, there it is. Yeah, it is indeed running. So, yeah, okay. Like I said, no broken bones. No broken bones. I started watching Rumble a little bit more. And, you know, I started looking at people, and I'm like, I could do that. So I said to myself, hey, you know, let's give the video a run again and see if we can make it work. I'm not quite sure what this is going to look like after the fact of video anyway, because I know I stopped and then I started up again, and I'm not quite sure if that first one is even, I might even delete the first opening and just start with me starting up again saying, hi. Normally what this show consists of is a lot of news and current events and my take on them. I do have some news tonight, so I'm not just swimming around out here by myself. But I do want to, again, make sure everything's right. It's not for nothing. The producer was like, she was surprised that I didn't have the microphone in the frame. And then I figured out that if I turn it around, I can get the mic in the frame. Because I kind of like monitoring myself. Same thing with audio. I can't really do audio unless I can monitor myself. And I can't really do video unless I can actually see myself. And I can't actually see myself. I just, again, want to see what it looks like for you folks. Yeah, that looks perfectly acceptable to me. That looks perfectly acceptable on a 27-inch monitor. I can't imagine on a phone it's going to be fine. A lot of mobile folks these days, you have to really take that into account, probably more than PCs. Although, obviously, Rumble PC and Android, and I don't know if they do. I don't know if they do Apple, but I wanted to make sure that we had all the bases covered. I'm going to pull my tablet up. I can actually, you know, because the card is so cool that we picked up. I can actually run the output of my laptop into the board, you know, into the card, and have it pop up as I want in OBS. The biggest issue is that I find screen real estate winds up being an issue. So if I pop something up, browser up, it's not really what I would call super readable to anybody who would actually be watching the stream. So for the time being, I've opted to do what I usually do during the audio show, which is I have my tablet, and I generally read news off my tablet. So I'm going to go with that. You know, things may evolve. We'll have to see where things go. I don't want things to turn into a super duper launching a rocket every weekend. I just can't deal with that. It's, you know, it's one of the reasons why I stopped doing video initially. So we're going to, you know, pare it down to basics, and hopefully we'll be able to present a reasonably amusing presentation. So with that being said, let me open my tablet. Let's see what's going on here. Do, do, do. Okay, I don't know what that is. Do, 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 do. Oops. I killed all the audio. Yeah, my tablet would usually blast audio. All right, that being said, I've been, I used to gather a lot of news from Twitter, but I don't do that anymore. I still have a Twitter account. I survived all those purges. I'm not even really sure why. Because I was retweeting a lot of the stuff that was got a lot of other people banned. Yeah. But for some reason, I was able to stand between the raindrops. I still have the account, but I don't really use it that much. I'll go over there every now and then and see what's going on in the Twitter sphere. But it's not something I've really moved over to Getter. I like my ratio on Getter. I was able to actually, within a reasonably short period of time, I was able to have more followers than people I was following, which is actually kind of cool for a social media platform, at least for me, because I remember Twitter was like still real hard. And I never did the train thing too much, maybe once or twice as far as, you know, building up followers by following other people in a train-like fashion, I guess. I did it once or twice on Getter, and I'm pleased with the results. And I'm actually able to get news that is more along the lines of my political views, which generally run MAGA. And let me see what I got. Okay, so I need to open this. I'm trying to keep it. See, want to try and keep it out of the way of the microphone because I have a tendency to let it get in front of the microphone, and it sounds like I'm not paying attention. let me see this. And okay, this was out of PJMedia.com. By the way, a real terrorist just threatened to crucify New York City cops. This is Robert Spencer out of PJ Media. While Maxine Waters is fuming, yeah, what else is new, against Donald Trump, accusing him of attempting to organize his domestic terrorist, and the Biden regime continues its efforts to portray Trump and his supporters as insurrectionists, which we know now is bullshit. I generally tend to insert commentary in the middle of the story. I know it's really annoying. But I think a lot of the January 6th stuff that got released during Tucker Carlson's shows, was that last week? I think it was. He did a series of exposés, I guess would be the word. I think the American public has really, you know, seen what that was all about, and, you know, with cops leading people in and even escorting the shaman, the MAGA shaman, into the chambers. I mean, come on, you know. And there's also always, you know, been allegations of which we have to wonder, given what we've seen thus far, allegations of there being federal agents in the crowd acting as provocateurs, I guess the word would be. So. Let me see. And its efforts to portray Trump, and see, that's what got me thinking. Trump and his supporters as insurrectionists. The actual terrorists haven't stopped their activities even for a moment. On Friday, the feds tore themselves away from trying to fabricate cases of white supremacist terrorism long enough to arrest a real terrorist who plotted to murder police in Yonkers, New York. This guy was an Islamic jihadi. Remember them? They're still at it. Even as our government and law enforcement apparatus have decided that patriotic Americans constitute a much greater threat. The New York Post reported Friday that an ISIS-loving radical Islamic extremist from Yonkers was busted by the feds Friday for plotting to kill the city's police officers and mayor, beginning on the street where the local St. Patrick's Day parade was set to go down. Hey, don't mess with St. Patrick's Day parades. This charmer is a 32-year-old man named Ridan Kola, who directly messaged the Yonkers police saying, "I will crucify Yonkers cops and their bosses along McLean Avenue. It will be a horror scene. Ali Akbar." Well, how do you like that? You know, he could have been a little less obvious about his intentions, don't you think? Anyway. McLean Avenue in Yonkers was the site of Saturday's St. Patrick's Day parade, and so Yonkers police were concerned that Kola might have planned to wage his jihad against the parade goers. They moved quickly to arrest him on Friday so as to forestall the possibility. Yonkers Mayor Mike Spano commented proudly, "Yonkers is proud to host one of New York's largest St. Patrick's Day parades, and threats like this will not intimidate us from celebrating the many contributions of our Irish-American community." I would just like to point out that my people are Irish on my mother's side. So, you know, Irish and French. Does it get any better than that, right? probably does, actually. But, yeah. Anyway. We didn't actually, you know, we're still kind of... we would basically do St. Patrick's Day with my Aunt Jerry, who passed away in November. It was a big thing. We'd get the, you know, the corned beef and the soda bread and the whole nine yards and some Guinness. And you know. In light of her passing away in November, we've decided to forestall not doing anything for St. Patrick's Day this year. But we will be doing Easter, and from Easter on, I think, you know, He is risen. I think we'll be getting back to what passes for normal around here, at least as far as holidays. We'll try at least to observe them, I think, because we weren't at all. We were just huddled in the room doing nothing, as some of you know, because I've spoken to you about it. Let's see. That was great. Okay, that was great. But the episode brought American authorities no closer than they were already to understanding why people such as Radon Kola plot bloodshed and murder in the first place. While law enforcement and intelligence officials remain in complete denial about the ideological roots of threats such as Kola's, they could have discovered the source of the jihad's odd threat to crucify Yonkers police officers if they had dared or bothered to consult the Holy Book of Islam, which says the only reward for those who make war upon Allah and his messengers and struggle to sow corruption on earth will be that they will be killed or crucified or have their hands and feet cut off on opposite sides or be expelled from the land. I would opt for the last one. Such will be their degradation in this world, and hereafter, theirs will be an awful doom. But the idea that such words can actually become impetus for action for some Muslims has been dogmatically rejected by the American law enforcement, which thereby cut itself from a clear and easy way to understand the jihadist's motives and goals. Yet such knowledge might come in handy in trying to stop those jihadis. Kola, meanwhile, appears to be a true believer. The Post notes that on multiple occasions, Kola had posted disturbing content online, including support for a jihad or war against non-Muslims, the feds allege. He voiced support for extremists in the Islamic State, nor had he just been doing this. The message apparently went for years. In 2021, he posted one to an official Yonkers police social media account written in Albanian that read, "I am going to slaughter you little girls." Come and stop. Much more recently, on March 9th, he sent Yonkers police a message that said, "First people to be crucified will be the Yonkers rats of Ahali. Allah Akbar Vade or Wabhabi," is essentially saying, "I swear to Allah," and "Ali Akbar" is, of course, "Ali Akbar" or "Allah is great. Allah is greater, excuse me. That is greater than your God and any other authority." It's somewhat reassuring to see Kola had previously come to attention of law enforcement officials. Maybe they're still bothering to devote at least some resources to tracking actual terrorists. Crucifixions on McLean Avenue, or at least the violence that might have accompanied Kola attempting to make good on his threat, have been headed off. The feds can now turn their attention back to finding angry Trump supporters that they claim are domestic terrorists. If they dare to post on Tuesday against leftist destruction of our free republic and replacement of it with a comic opera banana republic in which the foes of the dear leader end up arrested for a daring to oppose him, the authorities can hope no more actual terrorists like Kola get in the way of their scenario as it plays out this week. Yeah. So that was interesting. And again, obviously, that was a political piece. It is. Yeah, it does. We haven't heard from we haven't heard from the jihadists in a little while. I thought the COVID thing, they kind of took some time off, you know, and we're all masked up and waiting in line for vaxes. Before they would be out actually doing stuff again, becoming active. Between the jihadists and Antifa, I mean, I think that those are two real groups that have proven themselves to be a threat and a continued threat to the American public. But again, as pointed out by Mr. Spencer, it seems all the authorities are interested in is being weaponized against Trump supporters and conservatives in general, but particularly Trump supporters and MAGA particularly. I sit here and I often wonder what is it, what must occur for the federal authorities and FBI, ATF, to actually start doing good for the American public. They've been, when we start talking about, deep state, there's so much going on within these agencies, these alphabet agencies. There's so much going on that oftentimes I think that the American public really has no idea the depths of evil, for lack of no other term, that these agencies are engaged in. I don't think one president, I know President Trump has talked about, and he's been out there during, let me see if I can hang on for a sec, pull my glasses off before they fall off. He's been out there like every week since he left office on Saturdays doing rallies. His campaign started, almost 3 years ago, really, quite frankly. And I think he's been doing a pretty good job. Some of the stuff I heard, I liked the CCAP speech from a couple weeks ago in particular in regards to him talking about cleaning up deep state, given the other side, given the opportunity again. And I'm hoping that comes to pass. I guess we'll see. I know there's been talk about, I think I just read recently that Robert Kennedy Jr. is running, but I'm not quite sure the context that I caught it in. See, we originate out of, we're part of the 11LRNI, the Radio New York International, but my studio has been located in Providence, Rhode Island for the last 10 years, decade or so. And so that being said, we've always, the Kennedys never really go away. There's always just some little vestige or a cousin or a nephew or somebody that they lost track of that all of a sudden manifest. Let me see what I got. I'm a little bit more hesitant than I normally am. I'm trying to pay attention to what's going on with my software here. Seems to be pretty solid. This is actually even down to like 30%, 35% on the CPU. It's not at all. So it's a lot better than it was, obviously, when I started up the stutter fest when I started up. And like I said, there's just enough white in this shirt to kind of pick up. See right around there, And I'm my own worst critic, Mike Marks, you're like, oh, don't point it out. Why is he pointing it out? Because it bothers me. And I want you to know that it bothers me. I want you to know that I care. I care about the planet Earth. I do. All right. What else do I have? All right. So that was that. All right. So this is a great point. This whole controversy about President Trump paying Stormy Daniels. This has obviously been big and broken within the last X number of days. And the idea becomes is that the money that he paid her, they classified as legal fees, and it qualifies as some sort of fraud because they're always looking to get President Trump on something because they got nothing. I think he was just restored to YouTube, by the way. I think his YouTube account was just restored. Speaking of YouTube, before I get going with this account, I was considering starting up with YouTube again, if I'm pushing out video, I might as well, cover, the places where people are. And YouTube obviously is ginormous and always has been and most likely always will be until it goes down in a flaming paper bag full of shit. You know, somebody's going to step on it and it's going to be kind of messy. But I opted not, you know, their terms of service are so tough and it's just, there's things I couldn't say. And I think Rumble is more in the spirit of what I do when I start doing it a lot better than I've been doing it tonight. you know, that being said. And I think what I'll probably do is I'll probably upload to BitChute. You know, stick to BitChute and I'll stick to Rumble and see how things go from there. Like I said, it's more of a like procedural vibe thing that kind of needs to be like what? I was like what? You know, I'm the type of guy who, you know, gets in test planes and no parachute. No parachute. Let's see what happens. Let's see what could happen. I mean, what's the worst, right? You know? Anyway, next story. This is out of Gateway Pundit. And again, in light of the fact that President Trump has been accused of fraud, business fraud, I guess, we have former President Bill Clinton paid Paula Jones a whopping $850,000 to keep quiet over sexual harassment claims, but was never arrested for it. The case stands in stark contrast to reports that the former President Trump will be arrested on Tuesday for an alleged $130,000 hush money payment made to porn star Stormy Daniels in 2016 over an alleged sexual encounter that the two had in 2006. Trump's former attorney, Michael Cohen, pleaded guilty to charges over the payment in 2018 and was sentenced to 3 years in prison. In 1998, the Washington Post reported President Clinton reached an out-of-court settlement with Paula Jones yesterday, agreeing to pay her $850,000 to drop the sexual harassment lawsuit that led to the worst political crisis of his career and only the third presidential impeachment inquiry in American history. Just hours before the settlement was inked yesterday, Starr sent new evidence to the House Judiciary Committee stemming from a witness in the Jones case, Catherine E. Wiley, who also accused Clinton of unwelcome sexual advances. The report continued. The extraordinary case came to an extraordinary finale, with the defendant agreeing to pay $850,000, even though the plaintiff originally only asked for $700,000. That's great. when she filed lawsuit. Even though the case was dismissed without a trial. The report continued. The case opened a Pandora's box of allegations about his past sexual life and made him the first president ever interrogated under oath as a defendant in a civil lawsuit or before a grand jury as a possible criminal target. Jones versus Clinton also yielded a historic decision by the Supreme Court, which ruled 9-0 last year that even the chief executive can't be sued. And it was a resulting search for evidence that led Jones's lawyers to Monica S. Lewinsky and a chain of events that prompted the Starr report to Congress alleging that Clinton committed 11 impeachable offenses. And this is out of the New York Times in 99. Clinton administration officials said a check for $850,000, the amount agreed to in November to settle the case, was being overnight mailed to Ms. Jones and her lawyers. The officials, who said that the names not be used, said that little more than half the money, $475,000, came from an insurance policy against civil liability the president had with Chubb Group Insurance. Chubb, that's kind of funny, don't you think? Anyway, most, if not all, of the remainder was withdrawn from a blind trust in the name of Mrs. Clinton. Oh, Mrs. Clinton, who officially said last year had assets a slight me more than $1 million. Huh. Remember, this was 99, so. Clinton never faced criminal charges for his behavior. If Trump is charged, he will be the first former president in history to be arrested after leaving office. He's also the current leading contender for the Republican presidential nomination in 2024. Speaker of the House Kevin McCarthy has called for a congressional investigation into a politically motivated prosecution. Do you think? do you think? The Democrats have tried everything. We're back to commentary. The Democrats have tried everything that they possibly could to prevent President Trump from seeking re-election. This is if this isn't the most politically motivated one that this is really bad. This is really kind of low as far as opportunities go. It's like we're gonna do this because we really don't have we just can't stop him. We just can't stop the man. He can't be stopped. Hang on, I'm thirsty. I've been chugging this Powerade Zero. Although yesterday I drank a fair amount of Coca-Cola, which was bad, but yesterday was a rough day. Let me go back to talking about this for a little bit. Everybody knows President Trump can't be stopped, so there's no news there. No news there. But in order to get the green screen back up, I had to move almost half a room worth of stuff out from one room to another room in order to be able to get the screen into position and where it should be. So this was a very physical project. It was physical. There was tech involved. There was just a lot of stuff in order to make this work. And I'm glad, I'm always interested in new media and, being able to do video again, because I am an Aries. So in addition to loving the sound of my own voice, I am enamored of my own image. I will say it. It's true. So that being said, I hope we can get this down to hitting a couple of switches and coming in here and going. And it looks like we'll be able to. That's how good the tech's gotten. That being said, I just had to say that I like my own image. I had to be honest. I have to be honest. I cannot tell a lie. Actually, I've told lots of lies, but that's not one of them. All right, back to what I was saying. I think if they actually arrested or tried to arrest President Trump, this would, I guess, be New York, Florida. I'm not even sure where. There's no way there would be riots. I think it's safe to say. I think if they were concerned about the insurrection on January 6th, I think whatever MAGA response there would be to the president being arrested would be far worse than anything that occurred on January 6th. That would be my guess. So I think the people who are smart and in charge aren't going to, they're not going to let that happen. It would be a sad day in American history. That being said, this was interesting, I thought. This was out of justthenews.com. And this has to do with an Abraham Lincoln quote. I'm a big fan of Lincoln. I kind of have, maybe big fan, strong time. I kind of have mixed feelings. I think extraordinary times, extraordinary man. I think that's really, really the best way to kind of put it, And we'll leave it at that. I could get into a whole lot more on it, but I'm not going to. Not on my first night. Not on my first night on Rumble. Some other night. Some other night we can talk about that. This is Abe Lincoln quote dropped by the VA because it leaves out women. Not inclusive enough. Interesting. This change resulted after years of veteran groups saying that women don't feel comfortable in the VA. The Department of Veterans Affairs has changed its mission statement and dropped a quote from former President Abraham Lincoln due to its usage of male pronouns. The original statement from 1959 featured a quote from Lincoln's second inaugural address in 1865, which was, "To care for him who shall be born in battle and for his widow and his orphan." That's a lot of hisses. I say there's a lot of peckers there. All right. Well, anyway, the new statement is to fulfill President Lincoln's promise to care for those who have served in our nation's. Okay. Let me do this again. To care for him No, I did that. I already did that one. That's the bad one. We want the good one. The new statement is to fulfill President Lincoln's promise to care for those who have served in our nation's military and for their families, caregivers, and survivors. So that's a little bit of a sanitizing bit of it. Wow, it's an amazing amount of light this tablet gives off. According to the VA's press release, the original statement left other groups, whether they be women, LGBTQ, or people of color. Whenever, I got a joke for you. This one I'll do on the first night out. This might get me damned. What do you call a homosexual on fire? LGBTQ. Okay, moving on. Whenever any veteran, family member, caregiver, or survivor walks by a VA facility, we want them to see themselves in the mission statement on the outside of the building, said VA Secretary Dennis McDonald in a statement. We are here to serve all veterans, their families, caregivers, survivors, and now our mission statement reflects exactly that, he continued. According to the reports, this change resulted after years of veterans groups saying that women don't feel comfortable in the VA and that the quote is symbolic of obstacles women have to go through in the VA system. So that's, you know, okie dokie. I don't know how I feel about that. I don't feel emotional about it one way or another. Who's this? This is, okay, this is actually an Antifa story. This is out of the Post Millennial. Okay, this says Savannah Hernandez. I have no idea who she is, but it's an opinion piece. Antifa hunted me down for reporting on their violence. So, during a violent confrontation at UC Davis this past week, I was hunted down by Antifa for trying to express my First Amendment rights to freedom of the press. This past Tuesday, Charlie Kirk held a speech at UC Davis, and Antifa was out in full force, breaking windows, harassing students, and shutting down anyone recording these actions in the name of anti-fascism. My reporting on their illegal activities ended up with me being hunted down by the mob for the act of expressing my constitutional right to report on public events. As a reporter for TPS USA, I was on the ground to document the events of the night. With anger surrounding Kirk's starting days prior, the Sacramento Bee had spread slanderous lie that Kirk had called for the lynching of the trans community. The Bee has since retracted their statement and issued an apology due to the lie. However, the mob had their mind set on Kirk being a fascist and began gathering 2 hours prior to the event. It was immediately clear that they were not there to protest peacefully. Within the first hour, they blocked off a bike lane, causing backup of students trying to bike through. They pepper sprayed a man who pushed back against their blocking of the area and began blocking anyone trying to gain access to the event. As the night went on, their actions became more and more violent. A line of attendees waiting to get inside the building were descended upon by a mob and pushed around. Multiple entrances were blocked, and extremists ended up breaking off all of the windows to one of the entrances. They were closely monitoring anyone who was filming, shutting down press, and even students who were just curious. Since I was undercover, I was able to report for a few hours without Antifa recognizing me. I had walked away at one point due to poor cell service and a large group of people. I had just filmed a clip of Antifa smashing out windows of one of the entrances and wanted to get the clip out as soon as possible. As I was walking away from the crowd, a friend that I was with called me a frantic. "They found you out. Get out," he shared that Antifa had recognized me from my glasses and then just surrounded him, demanding to know where I was. Demanding to look through his phone and ultimately threatening him with violence for associating with me. At this point, he ran off to avoid getting attacked and told me to go to the police. I went up to the officers protecting the event and explained the situation. I showed them my press pass and asked for help. They turned me away, stating that if I felt I was in danger, I could just leave the campus. A large mob was circling the entire area. Luckily, I was able to contact a colleague inside who let me in, and I left unharmed. However, I got lucky this time. Back in 2020, I was reporting on Antifa in Austin, Texas. This was during the height of the George Floyd riots, and my footage had garnered national attention for showing the truth around these fiery but mostly peaceful protests. That's hilarious. Antifa recognized me after a long night of reporting, and a mob of them descended upon me, punching me before pushing me to the ground. One moment can be heard shouting, "Fuck her up." And I'm not the first journalist that this has happened to. Andy Go, one of the most outspoken voices against Antifa, suffered a hemorrhage in his head. That's what he had. For his reporting on these violent extremists, and ended up having to move out of the city of Portland due to the increased threats on his life. Many people are still commenting on my video and that this didn't really happen and that Antifa is an idea. To anyone who genuinely expresses these opinions, I invite you to report with me at the next event. And that was Savannah Hernandez. You know, she's kind of Asian too. I'm wondering if I'm wondering if Antifa's got a thing against Asians. Wouldn't that be wrong? That would be a bad thing. Anyway. What else do I have? This is good, actually. Filipino sex trafficker who live-streamed minor abuse sentenced to life in prison. The conviction of female Filipino sex trafficker stemmed from the arrest of a Canadian sex offender who had paid her to live stream child sexual abuse. This is out of Manila, the Philippines. A Philippine sex trafficker was sentenced to life in imprisonment for crimes that include live streaming sex acts on her own daughter and at least 8 other children. The regional trial court, Branch 10, in Abugac, convicted the trafficker for qualified trafficking, child abuse, and subjecting minors to online sexual exploitation on February 22nd, 2023. She received 2 life sentences for qualified trafficking and child abuse on top of 17 maximum years in prison for sexually exploiting minors online. The court also offered her to pay a total of $4.5 million in fines, whatever the Filipino currency is. The Filipino trafficker arrested by the Filipino National Police officers back in November 10, 2017, was caught in the act of offering to perform sex on her own 7-year-old daughter and live-streamed those acts from her home in MacArthur, Leyte. According to International Justice Mission, the trafficker's daughter and 8 other children were rescued during the operation. I don't know why they just didn't kill this person. I don't even understand why they have to bother, you know, in any of these cases, really, in regards to trafficking of children for sexual purposes, trafficking of children at all, let alone sexual purposes. They should just kill them. They should just, bullets are cheaper than whatever it costs to keep these people alive for whatever their natural lifespan would be in prison, don't you think? I mean, it just doesn't make any sense to me. It never really did. Because the only cure for pedophilia is a bullet to the head. I think this is pretty well documented. That being said, is there anything else that I really feel compelled? Oh, one last one. As many of you know, I'm a Putin fan. Sorry. Putin, and this is at a Real Raw News. Oh, that Real Raw News. The rawest of news. How do you like your news? Raw. Really, really raw. Okay. That being said, I don't know why I do stuff like that. I need a drink. You know, if this were easy, anybody could do it. Just like to point that out. Anybody could do it. And not for nothing, I do. I've always advocated people, using whatever platforms they felt that they were able to master. you know, to get the word out, to get their word out, whatever they feel that is important to them. You know, whether it be blogging or video, you know, a platform like Rumble or just, you know, just plain old audio, do a podcast. Plenty of podcasts out there. There are podcasts inside of podcasts. It's the weirdest thing. Anyway, Putin laughs at international arrest warrant. This is Michael Baxter from Real Raw News. Russian President Vladimir Putin on Friday laughed at news that an international criminal court, ICC, issued an arrest warrant in his name for allegedly abducting Ukrainian children, accusing him of the same crimes that Ukrainian pedophiles and their Western masters committed against countless Russian children since the start of his special military operation. FBS Andrea Zakharov told Real Raw News that the word of the officious warrant humored rather than vexed the Russian president, who reportedly said, "If they want me, let them come. We'll see who's left standing." Zakharov said the ICC, located in The Hague, Netherlands, is a nebulous intergovernmental coalition of deep state gangsters that takes orders from the criminal Biden regime and other Western leaders. Putin, he added, expected false charges would be leveled against him. However, he hardly anticipated that he'd be accused of kidnapping Ukrainian children while over 10,000 Russian children are still missing and presumed to have been sold into child slavery or to the adrenochrome harvesting facilities in the Ukraine. Zakharov said Russian Spetsnaz are still valiantly hunting, that's special forces, I believe, are valiantly hunting down adrenochrome farms in hopes of rescuing the children and destroying all traces of the pharmaceutical concoction that Putin has called the devil's elixir. It is common that the deep state accuses its enemies of the heinous crimes they perpetrate themselves. This is true. This is very true. It is, however, you say, the oldest play in the book. We believe the American administration and the dog Zelensky, the real war criminals, pressured the ICC to issue a warrant it cannot enforce. You think they will come to Moscow? No, of course not. Because they are, well, they're pussies. That's basically what it says. Zelensky is a warmonger, not President Putin, Zakharov said. A statement from the ICC naturally claimed that the opposite, reading that Mr. Vladimir, Mr. Vladimir Putin, born on 7 October 1952, president of the Russian Federation, is alleged responsible for the war crime of unlawful deportation of population, children, and that of unlawful transfer of population, children, from occupied areas of Ukraine to the Russian Federation. Zakharov said that Russian forces had rescued 65,000 children since the conflict began, and he admitted that some, a tiny majority, may be Ukrainian citizens. If any were Ukrainian, they were liberated from bondage and got food, housing, and medical attention. This is not kidnapping, this is salvation, Zakharov said. Putin, he added, believes that the Biden regime and Zelensky will continue to systematically kidnap and torture young children to harvest this precious adrenochrome. And if not in Ukraine, then elsewhere, in countries ruled by feckless, feeble leaders too weak to resist the deep state's icy grip. Putin will fight child trafficking and adrenochrome harvesting all across Eastern Europe if he must, Zakharov said. We will prevail. We will prevail. If they want Putin, they had better bring guns instead of a warrant. In closing, Zakharov said that Putin spoke briefly with President Trump early Friday evening, updating him on his victories over the deep state in the Ukraine. Putin also commented on reports that Trump may be indicted next week over the fictitious Stormy Daniels saga. Men like us, we don't surrender to the deep state, Putin reportedly said. Real Raw News reached out to Mar-a-Lago sources to confirm the call. One wouldn't comment, and the other would only say, "Rest assured, President Trump is safe. As for Putin, well, you know, they keep in touch periodically." So, there you go. I think, is that an hour? I'm tired. I am really tired. actually. Okay, Trump wins again, as YouTube unbans his channel. So yeah, I mean, he's just in time. Good timing on all of this, as far as Trump being able to reach out to people via various platforms. Because, you know, it's I find myself narrowing in on a couple of few platforms that I wish to continue to use. And that's like reining it in from, like, you know, like maybe as much as like eight or nine even. It's just too much. It's literally just too much. That plus a website. It's just, quite frankly, it's just too much of a presence. I don't really need, you know, pick and choose. You know what I'm saying? And it's good that President Trump is actually taking, you know, being able to reach people on various platforms that people generally tend to want to use for their own usage. Where am I going with this? I'm not 100% sure, but it's good that he's being unbanned, and that the word will be able to get out to very many people. That being said, I'm really tired. I was kind of tired before I started the show, I'll be perfectly honest with you. And then obviously some real early tech issues, but we were able to salvage the program, which it makes me very happy. You know, like I said, I just don't like to give up, you know. And when it's certain, sometimes it's just like solving problems. It's just like a click away. You just got to figure out which click it is while you're trying to do a program, which makes it real hard. So next week, I think we'll be a little bit cleaner and neater. I'm not quite sure what the deal is with the video, whether it be in two pieces or whether I'll just get rid of the first piece and keep the second piece, because I think the second longer piece, which is actually the content of the program, would be of more value than the earlier not-so-good piece. And the audio, as always, will be available at elephantwood.com. So let me, where's my stuff? No, see, we didn't even do that. I have to go over to, because I like to do my, plugs, whatever's worth, LF Midwood. So you got to go to LF Midwood, LFMidwood.com. It's home of the Midwood files. There we are. Whoa, there it is. Okay. Yeah, you head over to LFMidwood.com and you'll see the archives. Actually, the archives got removed for some unknown reason. No, they're still. We'll remove the archives before the evening is over. But if you look, you'll find archives of my latest shows. Like I said, what's going to happen is I'm going to keep adding my audio archives to my own website and let Rumble host the video archives, which makes life a lot easier for me as far as bandwidth and things of that nature, which make it kind of hard to host video on a regular basis anyway. So if you head over, you'll see Take the Red Pill. That's my social media. And I think that's mostly, yeah, that's all current. That's all current. And if you look through favorites, you'll find Rumble again. And you'll find, what else do I have in here? Getter is in here. Their alphabetical Gab is in there. A lot of other sites, 4chan, of course. And a lot of other sites that I generally use to get my news together, of content for the program in one fashion or another. If you head up all the way to the top of the site, you'll see 11LRNI. That takes you over to John Lightning's site. And pretty soon we'll have restored archives of John Lightning and Dave the Boogeyman available. And if you head all the way over to the to the right, you'll find our good friend Brad Reed over there at Grits Radio. Brad runs us on his personal stream, and it's most appreciated. I'm trying to think if there's anything else that I need to... What?
Crashed.
What crashed? Rumble crashed? Yeah. All right, well, then I don't know why. I'm going to stop this. So anyway, let me play this and talk to you later, buckaroos, and I'll be back next week. Thanks. Bye.
LF Midwood on the 11L Network.
We have reached the end of this program. Please return your host to the full upright position.
Stay tasteless and offensive. Gotta get going. Love your bye for now.